Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's. Welcome to all our guests and visitors with us tonight. Please take a moment to fill out a visitor card. They're located in the back of your worship pews. You can put them in the offering plate later on in the service. Tonight and this weekend, we enter into the season of the end times in the Christian church here. For the next 4 weeks, we start taking a look at the coming of the glories of the kingdom of heaven. And this night and this weekend, we celebrate the Sunday of the Last Judgment, a time that we remember that Christ our Lord will come, and He will come again in glory, and He will judge both the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. Invite the congregation to please arise as we follow the order of service as printed out in your worship folders. We begin on page 2. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and also with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child, and may God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. Congregation may be seated as we continue with our scripture lessons. They begin on page 3 of your worship bulletins. As we enter into the season of the end times and look forward to the days of eternal glory, and especially on this Sunday of the Last Judgment, here in the book of Daniel in 553 BC, Daniel saw a vision of Judgment Day. He writes, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." This is the word of the Lord. Please arise for the reading of our gospel lesson, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. "On the last day, all people from all nations and from all time will appear before the judge, and there will be an eternal separation of Christians from unbelievers. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit with you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, God.
At this time, congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this evening is taken from page 5 of your worship bulletins from the book of Romans, chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed, when God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not fair. I remember saying those words once or twice as I was growing up, when my brothers got more presents on their birthday than I got presents on mine. Now, I remember saying it when my classmates would get A's on their tests when they didn't even study, and then I'd study and end up with a B or C. Yeah, I remember saying it when all my friends at 16 were getting their own cars, and all I had was use of the family sedan whenever it was available. Yeah, I remember saying, it's not fair. I also remember my father being there reminding me that life isn't fair. and so get over it. But it's hard to get over it, isn't it? When we see what we consider to be things that are unfair, when coworkers are promoted ahead of us, even though we've been there longer and have more experience, just doesn't seem fair. When we work just as hard and just as long as other people, but somehow they seem to have more money and more stuff, it just doesn't seem fair. When we are just as nice as other people, but we don't seem to have as many friends. When other people go out and have fun, and yet we're somehow stuck always at home, sick and in bed, not feeling very well. And always, when other people too seem to eat whatever they want, and yet somehow we seem to gain 4 pounds just by looking at food, right? Just doesn't seem fair. But then perhaps life isn't fair. Every once in a while, people want to know if God is fair. And that if God is fair, then why do some people prosper and other people suffer? Then why are some children born healthy and other children not? Why does it seem that some families have stability and other families are overrun with dysfunction? Some families are able to live in peace and some families are just riddled with hardships and death. Just doesn't seem God is fair. Today we're going to take a look at fairness in the light of our Savior God. And our text for this evening begins us off and makes it very clear that our God is a just God. And that God, which it means, is that God is impartial. He does not show favoritism. And as a holy and almighty God, he is perfectly righteous in all of his acts and judgments. The Creator has issued his standard upon his creation. And the standard that he has given or required is that of absolute perfection. It's always been written in the Old Testament, book of Leviticus, "Be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy," even restating it in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And what God, a just God, requires of you is absolute perfection, to be totally holy in all of your thought, word, and actions, to be perfect in your love and worship for God, to be perfect in your love and as the way that you treat your fellow man. No different was the rich young man who came up to Jesus, right, in the Gospels, and said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? What do you want?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "Keep all the Ten Commandments perfectly, and you will have eternal life." And here is where sinners have a big problem with a just God and want to stand up and cry, "It's not fair." For what happens when people are sinners and can't be perfect? Should God hold imperfect people to his perfect standards? Should God really inflict his eternal punishment of death and hell upon a people who can't be perfect no matter how hard they try? Should God take people and leave them out of heaven, even though by nature they never had a chance even to be perfect? The problem is not with the holy God. The problem is with us. That we by nature and by choices, we are sinners. And God is a just God. He is impartial. He does not show favoritism. And he has set his holy standard. And that where there is sin, there is the wages of sin, that is death. And where there is perfect obedience, there is eternal life in heaven. And where there is not perfect obedience, there is eternal death in hell. And our text warns us to be very careful in not replacing the justness of God with the wishings and the wantings of sinful mankind. Our text gives us two examples of what happens when people no longer see a just God. Number one, people begin to think that God is not the absolute judge and authority, but they are. And two, that somehow God's standards can be lowered or done differently so that it suits everyone's own personal need. And our text warns you to be very careful in being hypocritical, in pointing out the sins of other people when it writes, "You do the same things." And also to be very careful in having a self-righteous attitude, thinking we are above God's holy law, as it's written, showing contempt for the patience, the kindness, and the tolerance of our God. I remember a Bible study we were having one day when we were talking about the sins of mankind and the grace of God towards sinful human beings. And we were talking about all the bad sinners out in the world. And I remember one of the men in the class, he raised his hand and he said, "Pastor," he goes, "I'm a Christian and I just want you to know that I'm not a bad sinner." And then he went on and said, "I'm not a bad sinner because I'm a good sinner. I sin very good," he said. "In fact," he said, "there ain't nobody that can sin like I do." When we take a look into the depths of our own hearts and our souls and ourselves, there ain't nobody that can sin like you do. The selfishness we have displayed, the anger we have shown, the evil we have thought and the hurtful words we have spoken, the gossip we have spread and the deceit, the lies, the lust and the immorality, the arrogance and pride, the jealousy and the lack of compassion, there ain't nobody that can sin like I do. And then to stand in fear before a just God, a God who is impartial, that he shows no favoritism, a God who has set his standard of perfection, and like the Ezekiel prophet Ezekiel wrote, "The soul who sins is the one who will die." And God being a just God, as it's written in our text, he will give to each one according to what he has done. Our God is a just God. And then some, I suppose, would still stand up and say, "Unfair. Well, if that's the case, then how can anyone be saved? How can anyone then escape the flames of hell and enter heaven's paradise?" And the answer to salvation, again, is found in a just God. A God who gave his only Son to be our perfection, to be our righteousness and holiness before a holy God. What God required, Jesus gave, and gave all of it. What God required, a perfect life, Jesus gave for us. His perfect life, as he was born in human flesh and blood to be our substitute. What God required, a sacrifice for your sin, Jesus gave and fulfilled, giving himself the perfect sacrifice on the cross for all your sins. What God, a just God, required, bloodshed to pay and atone for sin, Christ gave for you, gave it all as he shed his blood on the cross to wash your sins away and to make full atonement and payment. And what God required, the wages of sin is death, Christ gave as he died for you in your place, suffered death, breathed his last, suffered the bitter pains of hell. Everything that God required, the justness of God, Jesus fulfilled for you, so that you might always be able to live each day in the certain hope of forgiveness and eternal life, knowing that God is a just God, and that when he took the payment and the atonement made by Christ and accepted it, that it is the payment for our sins now and forever. It is done and complete for all time. And then the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead guarantees our proof and certainty of our own forgiveness and the certainty of our own eternal life. Every once in a while, I'll hear people talking, and sometimes they'll sort of be complaining about God not being fair. That whatever pain, trial, hardship, injustice that they are suffering or going through, that they immediately start to doubt God's love and compassion, even going so far as accusing God of not being fair. And it's at those times that I just sort of am reminded of our own personal salvation. And to say, was it fair, right? Fair. Was it fair that Jesus had to give up his throne of glory to be born into this world to save a world that couldn't save itself? No, that wasn't fair. Was it fair that Jesus had to come and live a perfect life in my place because I couldn't? And then take my life of sin upon himself? Is that fair? No, it wasn't. And was it fair that Jesus had to die on the cross, shed his blood, suffer my pains of hell and death, so that I could somehow go free, live in freedom and the forgiveness of sins, and have a hope and a certainty of eternal life? Is that fair? No, it's not. But you know what? You get down on your knees every night and thank your God for that it is. And to rejoice that the salvation of Christ has come to people like us. And then what is your response? It's just one of simple gratitude and praise, and he says of thanksgiving. There's only two reactions and paths to take, you would say. As he closes, he says these are the only two options. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, a person of God's promise, a believer later on, it doesn't matter who you are. All people, there's only two options. Either every day you live your life in thanksgiving to God, remembering the cross, remembering what Christ has done, producing the fruits of love in seeking glory, honoring and praising his name, seeking the things of faith and immortality as you are led on the way to eternal life. Or you begin to lose sight of the cross. You forget about what Christ has done for you. And then you fall back into being self-seeking, followers of evil and the ways of immorality, as then you are led down the paths of eternal destruction. On this Sunday, even though it is called the Sunday of the Last Judgment, this Sunday brings us great hope and comfort, knowing that we have a just God. A God who is impartial, that shows no favoritism. A God who has treated us and has saved us all the same. And it's written, there is no difference. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, but then it's written, but there is no difference. We all are justified freely by his grace that came through Jesus Christ. And may the comfort of our just and righteous God always be with you now and in the days to come. Amen. I invite you to please arise. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep and guard your hearts and minds now and forever. Amen. Let us join in confessing our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For in your name we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.